here at Levi Stadium, you've got this terrific Hall of Fame and museum and all these glittering trophies and artifacts. And this is like if the Hall of Fame had a funky basement. It's stuff clipped to the walls and photos of players you may have forgotten. And it's really like part time machine. You know, you walk in there, it's a very early 80s feel. It's a certain time and place, and for all those guys who wore the gold satin jackets, whose favorite player was Earl Cooper, you know, who remember some of the early struggles before the dynasty took off, you know, it's that kind of place.
Faith. By definition, it's something that is felt with strong conviction without tangible evidence of its existence. Many claim to have it, but how do we attain it? It can't be held. It can't be sold. But it can be passed down. Faith is invaluable to those who feel it. How is it that this belief can unite us regardless of our differences? It's because of conviction, that feeling inside that links so many, from the far corners of the earth to the closest reaches of our neighborhoods. Faith is all around us. Faith springs from a glorious past forward to a promising future. The faith that those who not so quietly defeated rivals and redefined record books would inspire their brethren of today to reach such epic accomplishments. And all along, there are those who cheer. In their minds, they envision. In their hearts, they believe. And because of that, they are simply known as the faithful.
The Canyon Inn started in 1973, but like the Niners, it didn't really take off until 1981. You know, it's a cool place, and it's got a cool history and a cool place in history in terms of the 49ers.
I grew up over in the East Bay, Walnut Creek, Pleasant Hill area, and in about 1970 or so, I moved over to the peninsula of Redwood City. While I was living over the East Bay, the 49ers used to practice at St. Mary's College in Moraga, and my father used to take me over there, and those are the days of Leo Namalini and guys like that, and we used to go over there and watch them practice. I remember one of my first experiences was my dad took myself and my brother to Kezar Stadium. It was the first time I'd ever been to a professional football game, and I was surprised at how wild it was. In those days, people could bring their own beer, and it was quite a sight to see these guys that you watch practice, and now they're out on the field playing.
Although he was able to consume the 49ers with his family, restaurateur Tim Harrison grew up with a hankering for Raider football. But soon his palate would be more refined, and a faithful pit stop would change his appetite forever.
I was working at the time for a restaurant chain called The Refectory, and there were several in the Bay Area and some in Oregon. And I was transferred down to Menlo Park, and I was dating a girl at the time, and she lived in the area. I was trying to find where she lived, and I got lost up here in Emerald Hills. I ended up at the gas station across the street to try to call and get better directions to her house. And while I was on the phone, I looked across the street at the building here, and it was for rent. So I jotted down the phone number and made a call, and much to my surprise, Southland Corporation wrote back and said, "Congratulations, you're now the owner of a lease of a building." I laid awake all night going, "What have I done?" And in 1973, I opened the Canyon Inn. The 49ers practiced in Redwood City at Red Morton Park, just a few blocks from here. As time went on, they discovered the restaurant, and they would come in here and eat. And I wasn't really sure who was who as far as the people in the office. But at the time, I later learned it was John McVay and R.C. Owens and a lot of the people in the administration that started frequenting the place. It was kind of exciting. Although at the time, the team wasn't really what we would call successful in the in the terms of winning and losing. One lunch day, John McVay was in here, and this was probably about 1981. They just had the draft. It was around May, and they were going to have a mini camp. They had just finished the season 6-10. Prior to that, they had had 2 years of 2-14. I approached John saying that in the fall, I'd like to have a rally out in the parking lot, generate some excitement. And he told me that that would probably be a good job for R.C. Owens. R.C. Owens came up and had lunch, and we talked. And he told me that that might be tough because in order to get the players up, you'd have to give something away, like free food. And I thought to myself, well, geez, I thought I was going to try to help them. So I thought about it for a while, and I came up with this plan. I wrote a letter to Mr. Ken Flowers, at the head of marketing, indicated to him that I would be willing, on the weeks that they won, the team and the staff could come in and all week long eat for free. So each player was given a card, and on it said, Canyon Inn and 49ers, a winning team. In the center, it had the player's name and their number. So when they came in, they just showed their card and were able to eat for free. At the time, I didn't think I was going to be giving away too much stuff. This was the season of 81, their first Super Bowl season. My luck, we gave a lot of food away.
We were a struggling franchise in the late 70s, and 79 and 80 in particular. And so 81, that's probably a pretty clever idea to give the players a card. You get a free burger with every win.
So Tim Harrison has the deal in place where if the Niners win, then players can come in and get a free burger. Week two of that 1981 season, the Niners beat the Bears, and Tim is kind of driving around going, I wonder if anybody's going to come in tomorrow. I wonder if anybody's going to take us up on this offer. And by the time he came in, the players are lined up outside the door, still in their sweats from coming off the practice field, lining up for the free burgers. And I think he knew right out of the gate that they were not going to pass up this free food.
The offensive linemen especially took advantage of that, and they went, and they didn't have just a hamburger. They would have a whole meal, and they would go for lunch almost every day of the week if they were available. And every time they got a chance after practice, they'd go up there too.
We'd get beers and order food, and sometimes he just bring food to us. And this is the offensive line. And then it became the line and the receivers and the running backs, and then it was the offense, and then some of the defensive guys wanted to come. And suddenly now you've got a lot of people, and the offer never changed.
More people would come in there because 49ers were frequenting the place, so the business picked up.
The cost of marketing the Canyon Inn as a place to catch a glimpse of the who's who of the franchise was measured in free meals. Burgers, steaks, you name it. Tim Harrison footed the bill for it all. But someone had to pay for those meals in 1981. So what was the real cost to Tim and his business?
$8,000 maybe it cost him out of his pocket that year, maybe more.
Although costly, Tim's plan was working. He was endearing himself to a franchise he loved, and together they were succeeding. Not only did it make good business sense, Canyon Inn worked with the team to deliver food for press luncheons and more. It made a truly personal connection, and the players as well as the franchise accepted Tim and the Canyon Inn into the 49er family.
And if you ask any of the players, especially from that era, they all loved him. So early on, a lot of players would go there for the free food, but they'd also go there just to see Tim. To know Tim is to love Tim.
In addition to me giving away food, the 49ers also gave me tickets to go to the game. To this day, I remember sitting in the stadium and on the kickoff, hearing Bill Ring's name on most of the tackles. Bill Ring on the tackle. Bill Ring on the tackle. And he wasn't big in stature, but big heart. So anyway, I'd never really met him. I just heard his name.
I remember bringing a date at the time, who's now my wife of 29 years. We go to the Canyon Inn, and the counter of the Canyon Inn is pretty high, and so I'm like, it's coming kind of up to here on me.
So Bill had his card, He came up to the counter.
I hand the card over, and I said, well, we'll have, whatever. He said, yeah, but, only Bill Ring can use this card. I said, well, I am Bill Ring. And he didn't believe I was a 49er because I was, I was 5'10 or 5'9 and 3/4.
I thought maybe he was kind of taking advantage of me. I didn't think that this was the Bill Ring that I was hearing. And I think one of the girls behind the counter didn't believe that he was a 49er either. They gave him his food, and Connie was very impressed that the first date that they came to was here where Bill didn't have to pay.
She was a cheap date, I guess.
Before the 1981 season, John McVay stopped in for lunch, and Tim Arison, the owner, went over and introduced himself and said he wanted to hold a rally for the Niners, kind of a preseason kickoff event. And McVay hooked him up with R.C. Owens, who was the alumni coordinator at the time. And R.C. Owens, knowing that there's no such thing as a free lunch, kind of arranged for a free lunch. And he said, we'll come for your rally, but we have to get something in return. So Tim Arison said, sure, you guys win a game on Sunday, and I'll give you a voucher for a meal ticket. At the time, Tim Arison didn't think he was taking much of a risk. I mean, the team had gone 2-14, 2-14, and 6-10, so he had no idea what was coming.
What was coming for Tim Arison and the Canyon Inn, located in Redwood City, was a host of occurrences. First, Tim's deal in 1981 to offer food to the team and its executives on an as-win basis meant he'd be shoveling out free grub to everyone in the franchise. Secondly, he would make lifelong friends and become a unique part of the 49er family. And lastly, Tim Harrison's Canyon Inn would go down in history as arguably one of the most faithful establishments on the planet.
Canyon Inn is just so much a part of our history. It was home. It was the second home, right? If 7-Eleven was home because you were there so much, the Canyon Inn and Tim were just like being at home. He treated us so well. And it was a place where we could go and continue to be family. So it was the second home for us. It was close and it was free.
If you walked into Canyon Inn today, it's like stepping back in time. It's like the first day I walked in there in 1981, and actually, it was with my free card.
And it's really like part time machine. You walk in there, it's a very early 80s feel, the Canyon Inn restaurant. You're hooked in early 80s Niners lore, and it's fun. It's not mint condition stuff. It's not super valuable stuff, but it's also, this eclectic blend where you might have a Paul Brown signed contract over under by the pizza oven. You don't know, depending on what booth you're sitting in, what kind of weird, funky, neat part of the NFL history you're going to be sitting by.
You walk in there in 1981 or you walk in there in 2015 and it's the same feel. It's like a man cave of all man caves. You almost want to look around at all the things on the wall, all the wall hangings, rather than eat first.
All right, so this is the entrance to the Canyon Inn. As you come in, here's the letters explaining the procedure about eating for free when they won games. And this is a letter here from R.C. Owens.
The walls are adorned with the memories of the 49er dynasties, a constant reminder to the success the team had experienced, and a hopeful shrine of great days to come. But it wasn't only the physical items that made Tim's establishment such a monument to faithfulness. It was the patrons, past and present.
Dwayne Board lives in the area still. He comes in. I see Ray Wershing, Roger Craig. I still see Bill Walsh's secretary, Nicole, comes in at least once a week. Linda Seaford, George Seaford's wife. And so I'm still in touch with a lot of those people, and we've become real good friends.
Tim Harrison's relationship with the players and executives spans four decades. And over that time, he has made an indelible mark on the people who have come through the door. He has become a mentor, a friend, and at times, even a prophet.
Charlie Young used to wear a Canyon Inn t-shirt underneath his shoulder pads. I told him that it would bring him luck. This is before the first Super Bowl, but during the season. He kind of laughed at that, but after they won the first Super Bowl, he had that shirt on every game underneath his pads.
Here's Montana throwing toward the end zone. Caught in the run by Cooper. He's got it. He's in the end zone. A 49er touchdown.
And Tim, I don't know if we adopted him or he adopted us, but it's a relationship that's lasted quite a while. And it even survived the move down to Santa Clara. It's an unbelievable institution, and he's a great guy.
Forty-two years ago, an establishment was born in Redwood City, merely blocks away from the 49ers' original training facility at 711 Nevada Street. Although that may have been a coincidence, it was fate that brought Tim Harrison's restaurant, the Canyon Inn, to become a mainstay in the lives of those employed by the team. It's a normal-looking place from the outside, but to some of the most discerning palates, it's ranked right amongst the best of the Bay Area eateries.
You can call it four stars if the four stars are Dwight Clark, Joe Montana, Dwight Hicks, and Roger Craig. You know, four-star restaurant. The menu is football food. You get a little taste of football there. It might be the only place around where you can order a hacksaw burger in honor of Hacksaw Reynolds. And I'm told that the way to really have a hacksaw burger the way he would like it is just douse it in Tabasco sauce to make sure it's hot enough and tough enough. That's hacksaw style.
So the Canyon Inn may not be gourmet, but those who patronized the small restaurant knew it was a place to relax, a place where they felt appreciated, and a place where they were understood. That included Hall of Fame coach Bill Walsh and his family.
His wife, Jerry, would have a Reuben, and he'd have a salad, something light, kind of sit right back here in this booth, away from the fray. In addition to the 49ers, just great, great people who've come along. We've been blessed. A lot of these ideas, a lot of these things that evolved in this restaurant have come from customers suggesting different things, and so they've been a big part of the evolution of the Canyon Inn. And I think one reason we've been able to stay in business is we've been able to adjust through the years to the market and what's going on and still try to stay relevant while still holding on to the history of what actually made this place.
Tim Harrison is a super charismatic guy, you know, just a real super friendly, outgoing guy. And, you know, I had a book signing at the Canyon Inn, and I brought in Roger Craig, who had done the foreword to the book. So we're sitting there talking to the fans who come in, and all of a sudden, here comes Ray Wershing to sit down and join our podium. Here comes Bill Ring to sit down and tell stories to the fan. Dwayne Board came in later that night, and they weren't there for me. I didn't know they were coming. They were there for Tim Harrison. And the thing is, the Canyon Inn is a family restaurant, but it just so happens that the family is the Niners. You know, the family is those early Niners, and they were there, you know, Ray Wershing, Bill Ring, Roger Craig, they were there to be part of that magic that's part of their past.
The magic that was part of the past is what made so many of us faithful. Tim Harrison is not exempt from that magic, and although he's a business owner, he's also an ardent fan. Like millions who considered themselves faithful, it was a moment in time, a spark that ignited an inner passion. For Tim, that spark occurred as it did for legions of fans, with a flick of a wrist and an improbable catch.
When Dwight caught that ball, there was like 60,000 people who were best friends that didn't even know each other, hugging each other. It was like a dream come true. It seemed very bleak at the time. When Joe threw that pass and Dwight caught it, it was unbelievable. And it was the beginning of a whole new era of pride and winning and confidence. And then the next day, all the players were in here, lined up, getting their free hamburger. I got one of Dwight Clark's very first autographs on the newspaper. That's up on the wall. I'd have to say that was probably the most special day in my 49er experience.
Talk about being champions from July 7th. We're champions right now. We got one more to go. Congratulations for a tremendous effort.
They've had highs. They've had lows. I'll tell you, they're an amazing organization, and I hope that they continue to stay that way. And I have faith that, they will prevail and we'll have some glory days again. Everybody's got to stay faithful.
Tim's faith remains, as does his very own small museum, The 49ers' faith in Tim also lives on in an even greater museum. You see, if you stroll through the 20,000-square-foot memorial located inside Levi's Stadium and look closely, you can find reminders of the Canyon Inn and not only the franchise's history, but also its place in their family.
Jack Hacksaw Reynolds. A lot of people don't even know who Hacksaw Reynolds, but he was very instrumental in leading the defense on the first Super Bowl year. Every time he came in, he would order a double cheeseburger with extra Tabasco sauce. In fact, we would just give him the bottle of Tabasco with extra cheese. I still hear from him, still reporting that sales are doing good as far as the Hacksaw Burger goes. We'll be right back.